Recording is on.
All right. Hello, everyone. We are going to start the Verifiable Credentials Education Task Force meeting. It is August 30th, 2021. We just started the recording. I'm going to review the agenda and then get into it. So the first thing I would say is that we have our W3C IP note. Let me read this out loud to you, which is that anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive, what's that word wrong, contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. And this link right here, substantive is the word I wanted to say, substantive contributions. That is the joint link. You must ensure that you have a W3C account. And then this link that I'm going to put in is the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement. And so please note that these minutes and audio recording of everything said in this call will be archived. And you will find those at this URL. And that we are using IRC to chat for this text. If you prefer to use IRC, this is the link for that here. Just a reminder that we use a queue process in this call, so if you'd like to be added to a queue, just type queue plus, like such. And then to remove yourself from the queue, you queue minus. Okay, and if you can always queue yourself more than one time, too. So the next thing we're going to do is just we need a scribe for this call. And how we do that is we have a list of folks who often volunteer to scribe. And how the scribing works is it doesn't have to be a word description. It can just be sort of a summary of what the speaker is saying. So I guess what I'll do first, ask, see if there's anybody here on this call who would volunteer to be a scribe.
I'll take it on.
You sure, Marty? You just did it last time. You don't mind?
I don't mind. I'll give it one more go.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Put you there. Great. Okay. So let's do some introductions and repeat introductions. Is there anybody new on the call that would like to introduce themselves? And tell us what you're working on and why you're here today.
Deb would like to speak.
Great. Hey, Deb.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, I'm glad to see everyone. I'm Deb Everhart. I'm Chief Strategy Officer at Credential Engine. And We do a lot of work that's closely related to this work in terms of embedding the credential transparency description language in all different types of employment records and digital credentials. So I've worked on W3C work groups before, but not recently, so happy to be back in the fray.
Awesome. Thank you, Deb. Would anybody else like to make any introductions or reintroductions or just let us know what you're working on right now? Any sort of announcements from anybody in this group? Okay. Before we get started with today's meeting, it's going to be Anthony is going to be presenting Europass as VCs, which is going to be great. So I'm glad we have such a big group here today. I just have a few just sort of announcements that are going out of W3C. One is that, in case you aren't aware, every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and 5 p.m. GMT and 6 p.m. CET is the normal weekly CCG meeting. It's the community meeting for the Verifiable Credentials and Credential Community Group. These are great meetings, and if you're available, you should attempt to attend those. Also, there's a new work item that I thought folks might be interested This is a work item to create a BC guide for developers. I'm going to put a link to it in the chat. This is just getting started. This is something you'd be interested in following and also contributing to. This is a guide that would be developed in addition to the data model spec that is out there now, more of an implementation type of guide. And then lastly, coming up in October is the 33rd Internet Identity Workshop, October 12th through 14th. This is a conference where you can present and participate in any discussions about anything that's related to Internet Identity. I'm going to put the link here. This is an outstanding unconference. Really get to know folks in the community very well. There are many folks here who attend this regularly, and I would highly suggest it. Okay, so now we are ready to get on to the big topic, which is Anthony Camilleri, who's going to lead us to the presentation and discussion about Europass as VCs. And I'm really excited about this today, Anthony. Welcome back from break, and thanks for taking this discussion on for us.
Thank you very much. So I'm just going to attempt to share my screen over here. Sharing entire screen. Okay, so I would hope that you are seeing my screen. So
we're seeing your Jitsi screen right now. Oh, there you go. That's better.
Okay, perfect. So what I'm going to be presenting today is the digital credentials part of Europass. Europass is actually an initiative of the European Commission to create a single academic and employment dashboard for all European citizens. It's a major policy project of the Commission, and the portal has been live since last July, is translated into 27 different languages, has approximately 2 million registered accounts, and we add 10,000 citizens per day. The project is entirely government funded and supported by a network of employment and guidance centers in all 27 EU member states. As part of all of this, we also have a European standard for digital credentialing. The European standard for digital credentialing actually comes out of a legislative instrument that was passed in 2018, mandating the Commission to create a European system for what we call at the time, digitally signed qualifications. So the service at the moment is already live in beta. You can see the URL here on the screen. But to walk you through this a little bit, now time to move towards my PowerPoint. The first part of all of this was really looking at standards. And when we started our journey in 2018, we created a set of design principles that any standard would have to meet. First of those was that we needed a standard that would be able to address all levels of education. So the coverage of our tool is simply everything between pre-primary all the way to university of the third age and everything in between. So the standard would be able to need to address these levels of complexity. Second thing we needed to look at is that we needed a standard that would be able to align with European recognition instruments. So through a number of legislative processes, you may have heard of some of these, the Lisbon Recognition Convention, the Bologna process, the Copenhagen Declaration, we have spent the last 25 years trying to harmonize education systems in Europe. And through that, we've built a number of tools, such as credit transfer systems, such as qualification frameworks, such as skill and competence frameworks, and we needed to ensure that any standard would have all of these inbuilt into it from the bottom up. Third thing we needed to ensure is that we didn't want one set of standards for formal education and another set of standards for non-formal education. We wanted to take an approach that learning is learning, and therefore it should be able to be addressed by the same standard. Next design principle was that we wanted a standard that could be applicable to the whole course life cycle. So it doesn't make sense that you use one standard for your curriculum, another standard for your occupational standard, and a third standard for your credentials. We wanted to ensure that it's one standard throughout all of these stages. We, of course, wanted the standard to be interoperable, and we wanted it to be free and open source, and in this case, we mean free as in air. And lastly, we wanted to ensure that any credentials designed according to the standard would have legal value across the entire European Union. And this part was absolutely key, that all credentials would need to be signed and be able to have legal validity as per our current instruments. So, we looked through every standard in existence to see if they met all of these design criteria, but our unfortunate conclusion was that no existing standard fully reflected both the lifelong learning and the types of legal instruments we wanted to incorporate onto this. And so for this reason, the Commission decided to embark upon creating what we call a meta model for interoperability, which we call the European Learning Model. So this European Learning Model is made up of, is actually an extension of W3C verifiable credentials. The emerging W3C standard at the time looked perfect to allow us to actually create signed credentials in a relatively interoperable manner. If we look into the metadata of a claim, our basic ontology for a learning process centers around a learning achievement. And for us, a learning achievement means something you have gained as an individual as a result of your learning. So an achievement can be related to other concepts. So learning activities may lead to an achievement, while how do you know you've achieved something? An assessment of learning can prove an achievement. If we take these concepts a little bit further, I mentioned that an achievement is something you've earned. So what can you earn? You can earn learning outcomes. And in the, let's say, European legislation on learning outcomes can be knowledge, they can be skills, or they can be what we call autonomy and responsibility. But an achievement could also be an entitlement. An entitlement can be anything from the right to access a further level of education to the right to work as a tour guide in a certain jurisdiction to the right to join a medical chamber or a law bar. So entitlements are a concept that can be quite right. Further on top of that, we also created three sets of what we call life cycle concepts. So the base life cycle concept is a specification. And the specification is very similar to a batch class in that it specifies what can be learned, what can be done, and also how it can be assessed. Examples of specifications could include occupational profiles, competence frameworks, curriculums, skill classifications. These are all examples of skill classifications. Built on top of that, we have what we call learning opportunities. And learning opportunities describe the offer by an organization to actually teach a specification. So a course, an apprenticeship, a voluntary experience, these are all examples of opportunities. And finally, at the end of the life cycle, you have the credentials, which describe a claim about an individual describing how a person actually achieved that specification. Examples, attendance certificates, degrees, diploma supplements, letters of recommendations, etc., etc. So specifications can, of course, be interrelated and build on each other. And quite often you see this across Europe, where you might see a country implementing an occupational standard and then an educational institution creating a specialization of that occupational standard in the form of a course curriculum, and then seeing an individual lecturer creating a specialization of that course curriculum in terms of a lesson plan for a specific lesson. You might also see other types of scaffolding specifications, like a competence framework or skill classification, which is actually giving the vocabulary you need for these types of specifications. So, summarizing all of this, the way our format works, we start with what we call a learning opportunity specification, and if you add information about the offer, about where and when it will be offered and which organization it will be offered, we end up with a learning opportunity. If we take the learning opportunity and we add information about an individual's specific performance on that learning opportunity and their grades, we end up with a credential. So if we map all of this to the verifiable credential specification, this is what a Europass or European verifiable credential would look like. So in terms of credential metadata, we have information about the issuer, and the information about the issuer uses a specific controlled vocabulary, which we have in Europe for organizations, which we call the ADAS Legal Person Ontology. And we also can include information about the accreditation of that organization under the issuer field. There's the ability to include other metadata or other identifiers about the issuer. And plus, we also have a field, of course, for the credential type. Within the claim itself, you have the DID, and we also have ADAS natural person identifiers. Again, this is a European standard which allows you to specify first name, last name, date of birth, place of birth, and let's say the basic set of 10 to 15 identifiers which are used in a cross-border fashion across the EU. We also can make claims about the activities, assessments, achievements, and entitlements that that person has gone through. Finally, in terms of the proof, and here is, let's say, the magic in terms of the legal value. We have a set of legal instruments in Europe that specify what a legally valid signature by an organization would look like. That is something called an ADAS e-seal. And basically, if you apply for your signature from a specified government agency or a delegate of such a government agency, then you will be able to get an ADAS e-seal according to a standard we call JDES. And if you sign that credential with a JDES compliant signature, then it automatically is equivalent to paper by law in every member state of the Union. So this essentially describes our high-level structure. Now, the thing I have not mentioned so far is that up until now, we have been working along the lines of being verifiable, credential compatible at an information model level. But when you went down to our serialization, we, for the moment, have been offering a rather strange XML verifiable credential. The reason for that being was that the signature standards in Europe did not have a legally valid JSON application as of yet. The draft of the JSON standard has been published, so now we are moving towards a native VC implementation of Europass. We don't have an official timeline on that yet, but our modelers are working hard on it, and we expect release sometime next year. For this reason, after seeing the discussion with the community, we thought it would be a good idea to discuss some of the ideas we are playing with and get some feedback from the community. So before I jump into the, let's say, challenges of addressing this in JSON, are there any questions up until now?
There aren't any in the queue right now.
Perfect.
Hold on a second. Now we have questions. P1, Phil, please.
Sure. Thank you. Anthony, can you just go back for a second and remind me what the entitlement consists of?
Sure. So an entitlement is basically a right you get as a result of your credential. So that right could be an entitlement to access further studies. It could be an entitlement to work as a certain occupation, or it could be an entitlement to join a membership organization like a medical chamber or a law bar.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much. I think Juan's up.
By the way, because I'm working with a single screen today, I'm not seeing the chat while screen sharing.
That's okay. I'm watching, and you are okay right now. That was the only question.
Okay, then I will. No. So
Juan was up, unless he's withdrawn.
Oh, sorry. I'm okay. No, I was just present pleasing. No questions yet.
Okay. He's just saying he's here.
Okay, so to jump in then, what we thought we would do to start discussion is that we actually started from the Open Badges V3 spec that Kerry has been presenting for the past few weeks, and tried to say, based on this work, how does it actually map to what we are doing in Europass, and how much of it can we use, and where do the problems come in creating more complex credentials? One thing I should mention, which I haven't so far, is that the majority of our credentials are highly, highly complex credentials that can have up to 60 or 70 claims in. A lot of the stuff we do is regulated by law with very, very rigid structures. So it was an interesting challenge trying to see if we could actually map it. So first of all, looking at the work the group has done so far, let's start from what stuff can we use and what stuff did we look at as Europass and say, this is great, we can use this. So first of all, the type and the achievement type. So this idea of having a type and achievement type is very, very useful to us. We can map that directly on our Europass/achievement, Europass/activity, Europass/assessment, Europass/entitlement. And that's something that would be quite straightforward and already let you know that you're, let's say, within our set of namespaces here. Second thing, which we liked very much, is the separation of the badge class and the result description. This is an absolutely key principle for us. We call these specifications and instances, but they're essentially the same concept, where you have a set of information that is common to anyone who achieves the achievement, and then you have an individual instance that describes the person's individual achievement of that specification. The other thing that we liked very much about this is that there's no nesting relationship between the badge class and the result description. We have had never-ending discussions of, do you describe a specification and then nest the result within it, or do you do it the other way around? Actually, putting both of them at the same level just solves that problem entirely. Third thing we like, and which becomes very, very useful for more complex credentials, everything has a URI. And just saying that absolutely everything has a URI makes solves a lot of problems and is also one of the key ideas of our own standards. The idea that you have creator, we're not completely convinced about the name creator, but the idea of having a creator with a DID inside the credential subject means that we can support roles outside of the issuer, be that a standard publisher, be that an organization teaching or supervising but not issuing the credential, be it an assessment organization. Use of this property gives you a lot of flexibility to describe more complex concepts within the credential. So that's what we like. Now, in terms of issues to resolve, here are the issues that we, let's say, look at the moment and say these are not solved by the work so far and the way we look at them at this point in time. So, first issue to resolve is this cannot support multiple claims. If you were to put multiple achievements and multiple result descriptions in, which result description matches which achievement? And if we're going to be very ontologically pedantic, you could argue that the result description is a property of the claim, not actually an individual claim in and of itself. Now, that said, this is a relatively easy problem to solve. So our proposal here would basically keep the structure, but introduce a way of creating an array of claims. So you could have something like claims, and then within claims, you would have achieved result distributions, evidence for each one, and voila, you can support multiple claims. With this type of structure, you could even support multiple claims of different types, which are interrelated. So we might, for example, have an achievement claim, an activity claim, an assessment claim, and then use custom fields to create relations between them. So being able to just structure it like this would be very, very powerful. Second issue to resolve is that a credential, as the credential itself, not the claim, very often has a title or a title and description along with the type. So simply enough, if you think about, let's just take an example of a diploma in sociology. When you're talking about a diploma, you're not talking about the claim, because the diploma incorporates the information about the issuer, it incorporates the signature, and incorporates the claims. So one issue that we found is that we often needed to create a title for the credential as a whole rather than for a specific claim. This one is a very, very simple one to solve. Add a credential title property to the VC spec as an optional property if you need to be able to describe this. Third issue that we would need to resolve. So when we look at this ID field, where in this example it says website that supports or displays the badge, at least in our case, we could never use a resolvable URL as the ID of the credential because privacy laws in Europe would not allow it. We would always need to use a UUID or a similarly anonymous type of identifier. Now, of course, the solution to this is that at least for a Europass implementation, use a UUID. But whether you should use, let's say, the ID together with the visual representation of the credential becomes an interesting topic for discussion. So within VC as a whole, there are no properties which describe the rendering of a credential. From our perspective as Europass, that becomes quite a significant problem. The reason for this is that quite often there are laws, and by laws, I literally mean laws, that specify what a credential has to look like down to the logo types that are used on the credential. And an intrinsic part of a signed credential has to be the visual representation. Now, from our side, we spent a long time saying, should we just use a PDF and embed a VC within a PDF? But we felt that that was to some extent going against the rationale of having VCs. So our solution, at least, is to add what we call a display properties tag. And the display properties tag, depending on how you format it, has the potential to be something very, very powerful. So a display properties tag would have a type, which could be text HTML, but it could be an image file, it could be a PDF, it could be anything you wanted. And then depending on your use case, you would have a display property, where you could either, for example, put the HTML to render the credential directly in line within the credential itself, or if you don't really have a necessity to actually sign the visual representation, you could also create a link to a document here. So those are the first ideas I wanted to share with you in terms of where our thinking is at the moment and where our thinking is, let's say, trying to move towards some consensus within the work that is happening in this group. I am very, very much open for criticisms, comments, suggestions, and anything you have.
Thanks, Anthony. Phil, I'm going to call on you, but Juan had a few questions in the chat. So, Juan, if it's okay with you, do you mind asking those questions?
Yeah, why not? Sorry, finally got my device problem sorted. So the when you mentioned putting the credential title in as a top-level field, were you imagining a purely arbitrary issuer-chosen can be anything string, or is it a string that's actually sort of a, if it starts with X, then you can parse it this way and then separated by commas or whatever kind of string?
At least in our implementation, the credential title is just a simple text string. Where we need, let's say, more formal complexity, then that goes more into the type description of the credential than into the title.
Okay, cool. So it's like not a weight bearing string, just like a like an alias string.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I was also wondering, I couldn't really understand if you were explaining an option you discounted, or if you were still interested in the possibility of using a permanent URL for an alternate form factor, and just sneaking the unique identity of the credential into that URL, or if that is an unsatisfactory solution for the use case. Like I typed in the chat what I thought I heard you say, but then you said some other stuff and I didn't know if I misheard what I thought I heard you say. Were you talking about putting UIDs into URLs and then having that URL just to be like the permanent URL of a graphic representation?
Okay, so there's two parts. So for the ID of the credential as a whole, what we're looking at the moment is just using a UUID as the ID of a credential as a whole and not using a URL for the ID. If we were saying that if you want to link to a visual representation, then you can use a URL in the display properties field, but that is not linked to the ID of the credential.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Juan. Thanks, Anthony. P1?
Yeah, it was actually related to the last question that Juan mentioned, and what I was envisioning was the notion of a. I guess I was moving two parts to the question. One is, it looks like that is a link that you could use to point to an IPFS LD location for the images or whatever the representation type is. So is that's the kind of link that you're talking about?
Okay, so IPFS locations, honestly, we haven't discussed at all. What we, at least for our own implementation, what we plan to do is actually put the entire HTML within the credential. Because what member states tell us is that they want to actually sign the entire visual representation as well as the data.
Right.
But let's say because that is extremely heavy, we wanted to give the ability to people to say, look, you can link to either a link where you find the downloadable one, or you could link to a generator, or you could link to some kind of template. But our own use really is putting the entire HTML inside.
Would an alternative be a hashed link to the location?
Yes, that would be an interesting alternative.
Okay. So that might be to save weight of the credential itself and yet still have proof of signature of the actual pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you, Anthony.
Anthony, I have a question for you in looking at your example. I was thinking about this. So what you have is an example of you have claims within a credential subject. And then each of these claims is an array of claims. And which in these, would I see badge, so we kept badge class in the example. Did that mean there would be like an open badge within the claims or different types of credentials for each claim? So maybe sort of like talk a little bit more about like, you know, the multiple achievements within a claim, I guess.
Sure. So let me give a very typical use case, because I think use cases help a lot. One of the things which has to be issued to you by law if you get a degree anywhere in Europe is something called a diploma supplement. A diploma supplement is a collection of claims which will include a description and results for every module you have done over the course of your 5 years at university. It will also contain the claims for your main degree. It can also contain claims from exchanges you did, which come from actually other institutions during your studies. And it will include any claims related to any apprenticeships or volunteering or something similar. So that alone is probably 40 to 60 claims of different types of achievements, of different levels of achievements. So those are, let's say, the types of multiple claims which we try to capture. But on the other hand, we also want to be able to issue a credential for participation in this webinar, which is vastly more simple. So we basically wanted to be able to capture both of these with the same standards.
Okay, thank you. Nia, you're in the queue.
Hey, and apologies in advance if my audio doesn't come through very well. I'm using not my usual setup. I was asking about the separability of claims, which is very closely related to what Carrie was just talking about. If a credential was awarded that represents an entire degree and a learner wants to show just one of those many things that they did, I completed this specific course within my pursuit of that degree, or I want to talk about just that one little transfer opportunity that I had done. Is it a use case that you're envisioning to be able to separate that out and display or present that one piece of the overall credential by itself? Or is the only option the learner has in order to present this in a verifiable way to include all of the claims that together make up their degree?
Okay, so I think that's a massively complex question, and I think we've got to spend the next 2 or 3 years solving it, honestly. Let me answer it from two directions. Technologically speaking, being able to separate out, let's say, parts of a credential, for example, via a VP or something, is something that is on our roadmap. And we do want to be able to give students the ability to, let's say, decide what part of a credential they share. The other part of this problem, though, is, of course, we would like to start having institutions issue smaller claims and then stack those claims. One of the things which I have on my last slide I haven't shown you yet, which is things we would like to discuss further with this group, is how to go about stacking credentials in a VC world. Because let's assume that we do start issuing a credential as a student completes each module, and then I want to issue a degree credential that also includes all the modules that the student has already earned credentials for. There's, let's say, a whole bunch of different ways you could actually structure that as a VC, and that's something we hopefully would discuss further with you in another meeting.
Thanks, Anthony. P1?
Yeah, Anthony, one thing that I'm not sure you mentioned is the question about the individual being able to self-assert a credential. So is that within the scope of the model, a mechanism for doing that?
So self-assertion of a credential isn't something we actually look at. It's not within our model at all. Mainly that's due to where we come from. So first of all, we come from legislation that talks about digital signature of credentials by organizations, essentially. Secondly, it's because we are embedded within Europass. So Europass is a basically CV builder system. So essentially what happens is that if you want to self-assert, you use HR open standards, while if somebody is making claims about you, you use Europass, you use the learning model standards.
So you use HR Open as the vehicle for the concept of a self-assertion because of the assertion being defined in your context as issued by an organization or institution.
Exactly right.
Okay. Very good. I'll have to, thank you.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question, Anthony. You left evidence in your example. Much like we have for open badges. Do you think the Europass model will be using evidence in a similar way? What do you think are types of evidence that you would be using?
Okay, so honestly, evidence is another of those that is quite controversial. But generally, let's say most of the people who want to use evidence in our model are people who are big Open Badges fans. So our plan with evidence at the moment is more or less to lift it from Open Badges and keep it extremely similar to what Open Badges uses, because the requests we get from it tend to be from people who have Open Badges and want to also express them as Europass claims.
So they would be both. There'd be Open Badges as well as Europass claims. They could be each, or one of each.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't mind saying this. We hope that if Open Badges V3 becomes a thing, and that if we can, let's say, have the standards be sufficiently similar. One thing that we are very, very actively talking about is creating a, I hate the word universal wallet because I always have doubts if it'll be truly universal, but of creating, let's just say, at least a semi-universal wallet that would at minimum be able to take Open Badges and Europass credentials together in the same wallet. And that is something that the Commission has already committed to. If other standards start, let's say, following a set of similar conventions, that of course would be widened beyond that.
Okay, thank you. Juan, I believe you're in the queue.
Oh, sorry. I was just asking if the evidence being inside the credential subject was... Oh, I think it's just an indenting. No, wait. No, it's... Yeah, I think evidence is outside the credential subject in most of the VCs I've seen. Is this a special case specific to how Open Badges models it, or is that just a typo?
I can answer that if you'd like, Anthony or,
Yeah, you take this one, Carrie.
So, evidence is in an open badge is different than evidence in a VC. So, and I'm not exactly sure how evidence is being used in a VC, but evidence with an open badge can be, evidence of the achievement. So it would be part of the credential subject because it would be specific to the achievement. So for instance, it could be, a website. It could be an image. It could be, a test score. Any of these types of things that would be specifically related to the achievement, not necessarily the VC.
Cool. That's awesome. Thanks. I'm woefully ignorant of open badges.
Happy to talk about them anytime you'd like. Let me see if anybody else is in the queue here. Does anybody else have any questions or comments or... Anthony, is there anything more you'd like to sort of say about all of this? You covered quite a bit this morning, I'd say.
Well, maybe just to get to the bit I'm surprised nobody has had anything to say about is actually the multiple claims, because at least in earlier meetings of the group, we were having never-ending discussions about multiple claims. So one thing I would just simply ask is, do you see this as a valid way forward and something that maybe we could start saying that, look, this way of doing multiple claims, basically what we're trying to introduce here is we're trying to ask the community, can we come together on a way of representing multiple claims within a credential?
I think Dimitri might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to reply to that. So while I usually recommend implementers to keep verifiable credentials short and single purpose, I suspect part of the reason you're not hearing much pushback, at least on this call, is I think we're realizing, I'm certainly realizing, that there's not much we can do. It's legislatively required. So we do need to figure out how to do big kitchen sink, this is my entire educational history sort of credentials. And for those, you kind of have to have multiple claims. So I think what you're hearing is acceptance.
Well, I mean, this makes sense. I mean, we are talking about, doing CLR alignment with verifiable credentials and open badges. As verifiable credential aligned, excuse me. So, and the CLR is multiple assertions of achievement. And so, that is what's being discussed at IMS Global now. So I think we are adjusting to that concept. Although we, I think in many states, in many instances, a single credential works just fine and that the learner should have the opportunity to combine those in any which way they think is right for the presenter. But we are seeing that there are other use cases, and we need to make sure we're addressing this. Deb?
So I'm just getting up to speed on this work, but is it possibly as simple as a both and, that if individual achievements as part of a larger credential are also valid as standalone credentials, then those also get issued as standalone credentials that can be referenced from within the larger, more aggregate credential.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could imagine that a learner would be presenting, a diploma credential with as many, a CLR type of VC or within a presentation, right? A CLR VC and then also, other individual ones at the same time. Right? So that could happen. Is that what you mean, Deb?
Yeah, except I'm definitely fuzzy on the relationship between, OBV3 for this type of VC and CLR. Because if OBV3 were to support multiple claims, and if those claims could also be, could reference the smaller, more modular credentials, then doesn't that solve the problem?
So open badges would still continue to be single, a single credit, single achievement, and CLR could be multiple achievements.
No, that I was thinking, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I was referring to Anthony's proposal in terms of making the claims an array.
Oh yes, Anthony, you should probably address that.
If I understood it right, and I'm not 100% sure I did, the idea is issuing multiple small credentials and then combining them in some way.
Yes. I mean, that's a dramatic oversimplification.
Right.
But I'm just wondering if that's a potential path forward.
So I could bring up quite a few examples of this. So I would say that if you're speaking of something like let's say a university transcript, in something like that, you probably potentially could do this as a number of small credentials that are somehow aggregated. But you do still always end up with at least some use cases when you are making more than one claim about a person and where those claims are related between each other. Maybe not to the scale of 50 or 60, but yes, but you would have two or three. So, I mean, I would find it very, very hard to say that, listen, there is no use case for an array of credentials, at least in some cases.
Carrie?
Yes, go ahead.
Speaking to this specifically, I think the notion of OBV3 as a sort of a building block for individual assertions that a more complex credential could use is a great and valuable simplification activity. The thing that I think we're speaking about is that complex credentials often have a layering that's associated with the relationships among those individual assertions that actually have meaning. So in a credential for a complex degree, for example, the sequence within which those credentials are taken, particular pairings of assertions in a particular context may matter. You have to have that metadata that describes the relationships among the individuals that thought through and developed the overall complex degree as something that's represented separately. So in that instance, simply an aggregate of the things taken together in a stack that is signed would not include that information that is about the meaning by which that aggregate was put together, the sequences, prior prerequisites, et cetera, that are associated with them. In fact, and just to finish that thought, the complex credentials work that I think is really ahead of us is that metadata patterning that is associated with a particular stackable set.
Yeah, it makes sense, Phil. Anthony, anything to that?
I just wanted to say that I couldn't, that Phil has this remarkable way of explaining the problem succinctly and elegantly. But indeed, let's say relations between claims is one of the key issues. One other thing is that I actually think that we were within this group, we will need to describe both of the approaches. So there are lots of use cases where you will need multiple claims and relations described within the same credential. There are also plenty of other use cases where you might have an issuer who is issuing a credential on the basis of other credentials. and where they need to reference the credentials on which the new credential is based in one way or another, and how do you actually do that. And again, there's like so many different ways to do that, I wouldn't even know where to start. So I think these are, let's say, both issues that we probably need to follow up on.
Exactly. And just, I mean, there is one last issue there, is that there are some organizations, issuers, that would simply like to have the set of credentials that they assert for a particular outcome signed as an element. And I think Dimitri mentioned in an earlier chat posting in this discussion that the ability to have the issuer do the package that represents the coherent whole, as well as allow the individual single credentials to be issued so that the individual holder can select among them to create their own stacks, which would include credentials not just from one issuer, but from multiple issuers, or components of the claims from multiple issuers, is an important thing to try to push for. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Anthony, do you want to close us with the slide you're preparing right now?
So I just wanted to share some further discussions we would very, very much like to have with the group. First of all, some of the simpler issues. Some of the simpler issues are saying, listen, we should really be multilingual by default, and what are the correct approaches to do that within an educational VC? Secondly, it would be nice to have a little bit of discussion about whether we have any recommendations on how much personally identifiable information linked to your name and ID and so on versus your DID should, let's say, be recommended within VC. And thirdly, we wanted to maybe try and come back to the idea of a skill assertion, but come back to the idea of a skill assertion within the context of a complex credential that might have skill assertions within it. Another topic, but I think we probably should have a whole meeting on this at some point, is this issue that we already touched on today in terms of if we are going to stack credentials within a VC, how do you go about that stacking? And how do you also ensure integrity of the signatures across a set of stacked credentials and so on and so forth? So that's everything I have for you today.
Great. Thanks, Anthony. Everyone, we'll pick it up next Monday. Thank you all. Have a great week.
Great presentation, Anthony. Thank you.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.